Talia, Reese, and Julia do it so well. Shows and tell.
Hello, listeners. This is Reese of Shows and Tell. Today we're talking about one of my favorite shows of the past year, and I would say it cracks my top 10 all-time favorite TV shows, which is Yellowjackets. I am here with fellow podcast hosts, Talia and Julia. Would you like to say hello?
Hello, I am Talia.
I'm Julia.
I'm still Reese. How are you guys?
I am honestly pretty good. I just came from a really delicious, delicious brunch in Brooklyn that was Jewish heaven. I had babka and whitefish and pastrami and pickles, and it was just kind of where I'm meant to be in the world, I felt.
Pastrami.
Yeah.
Red meat.
Love pastrami.
Connections.
Yum yum yum.
So that's where I am now. Juju, how are you doing? You look radiant this morning.
Thank you. It's the alcohol sweating out of my body because I'm hungover. But can I just, this is kind of a grievance, but I just have to say it because it's only going to take me 10 seconds. I went to Chipotle this morning, as I do, and
what meat did you get? Wait, what meat did you get?
Chicken.
Mmm. Fleshy.
I was going to say that.
So I just have to say, this is one of the weirdest experiences I've ever had in my life. So the guy in front of me orders his food. He picks everything he wants in his bowl. He gets to the checkout, and he goes, oh, I can't sit inside here. I don't want this anymore. And there were no tables and chairs in that restaurant. He, you knew that this was a to-go-only Chipotle. There's nowhere to sit.
So he walks in and he can see at the restaurant that there are no tables and chairs. And then he orders his food. And once his bowl is ready, he says that he doesn't want it anymore because you can't sit.
Our grievance for this week is people with no cognitive functioning.
Exactly.
Hey, guys, I really hate people who don't have spatial awareness.
And the best part of it all is he goes, wait, so what am I supposed to do now? And the employees go, I don't know, you can eat outside. You can, if you really want to eat inside. And he goes, I don't want to do that. And he goes, I don't want to eat. They're like, oh, you can eat it next door at the pizza shop. He goes, I don't want to do that. Then they go, oh, well, there's another Chipotle, two blocks away if you want to just take this Chipotle and eat it at the other Chipotle. And he goes, okay, yeah, I'm going to do that.
This guy, I'm in no way for killing. I do not condone violence.
I was going to say, he deserves to be eaten by cannibals.
I was going to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, give him the old cannibal proof of, it's not even grade A beef because there is no chance there's any sort of, not a tasty man.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that's how I'm doing. That little vignette is just a summary of how I'm feeling right now.
Great use of the word vignette.
Thanks.
Great use.
Nice. Yeah. Shows and Tell brought
how
to
are
you by
Reese?
Merriam-Webster.
Yeah.
I'm good. Fairly busy, just getting my the old ducks in a row. But
quack,
I'm excited.
Quack.
Quack quack, yes.
I like your sweater.
Thank
me
you.
Too. I was complimenting him before we started recording.
Yeah, it's a fun one. I figured I'd wear a fun sweater for a fun episode. Because we're discussing, as I said, my favorite TV show of the past year, by far, Yellowjackets.
I feel like you've been super hype about this for I would say the past three episodes.
Yeah, no, it legitimately is. I think it is the best show currently on TV. That is, currently in the process of making, episodes. It's still, on air.
Yeah.
I could say that confidently. More so than Succession, The Crown, all those. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, if you haven't watched Yellowjackets, if you're a listener, you haven't watched Yellowjackets, I would definitely pause this, watch it, and then listen. It's 10 episodes. They're all out now. It is so, so good. So just to jump in, a quick about in case you haven't seen it, or maybe if you want to listen to this to see if you'll like it or not, here's a little bit, I'll try to steer clear of spoilers because it's a super spoiler heavy show. So I'll try to dance around those. But yeah, basically this is its synopsis. In 1996, a team of New Jersey high school soccer players, an all girls team, they travel to Seattle for a national tournament. And while flying over Canada, their plane crashes deep in the wilderness. And while many people die, the remaining team members that survive are left out in the wilderness. And after 19 months, they are rescued. The series chronicles their attempts to survive while also tracking the survivors' current lives in the present day in 2021. And basically, I like the comparisons that it gets made a lot are it's like Lord of the Flies, you know.
Female version.
Exactly. Female Lord of the Flies, which is an interesting point I'll bring up. But it's kind of like that combined with Mean Girls. It's really cool. I really love anything with a dual narrative function. Like, I like stories that take place in the present but are intercut with the past. Yeah, like The Social Network, Slumdog Millionaire, all of those where it's like what you see in the past helps paint the picture of why the present is why it is. And it's something I'm going to be saying a lot this episode. This show is a perfect example of showing and not telling. The entire, yes, very funny, very punny. Yeah, the entire show is predicated on you having to piece together like the story, and like the show completely trusts the viewer to actually have to pick up the pieces and put them together, as opposed to being like, here are the people that survived. Here are the people that died. Here's what happened. We don't know how long that we were out, how long they were out there in the woods until I think episode two or three. Like, and even at the end of season one, we are still learning that there are more survivors. So, just as a heads up, like, everyone that you're meeting right now, no, you know, like, there's no guarantee that that's it. So yeah. Just to start out, what had you guys heard about the show before having watched it? Had you guys watched it before I was raving about it? Yada, yada, yada.
Well, okay. No, the answer is no, I have not. I had not seen it. I think that I hadn't really heard of it, but since you've been raving about it, I feel like for so long and you've been making TikToks about it, I like started cluing in more and hearing it in the conversation. So yeah, we watched the pilot for this episode. And it's really interesting, guys, because you were like, you're going to want to watch this whole thing. And I watched the first episode and it really is good. Like, it's stamp of approval, blatantly good. Like, of course I'll give it that. I was just way too on edge the whole time. Mm-hmm. And the human eating human of it all just makes me a little sick.
Okay, I will say, just to start out, I don't want to spoil anything, but...
Reese, you can spoil it. Like,
okay, I'm just going to say... No, but this is for the listener.
This
I'm trying to...
This is a spoilers podcast.
No, yes. My episode is not going to be heavy spoilers. Okay. All the spoilers that are going to happen are, like, very broad, not specifics. So, for this...
I was actually going to ask you if you would...
Basically, no, I'm not spoiling. I'm not spoiling.
Okay, I don't want everything spoiled.
That's what I'm saying. So all I'll say is that cannibalism, although we see it in the first episode, because that's the opening scene, and you're just like, holy fuck, it's gonna get... So, okay, just to start out, Juge, do you want to continue, and then I'll get into my little spiel that I was about to...
Yeah, sure. So I'd actually seen a ton of stuff about Yellow Jackets. I don't know if it's also because I've just been paying attention to more of it because you've been raving about it, but... My parents love it. Everyone I work with love it. My company literally has a Slack channel dedicated to talking about Yellow Jackets.
I love that. That makes me so happy to hear.
Yeah. So I had heard a lot about it. So my expectations were pretty high. So I watched the first episode a few days ago. Really liked it. I think similar to what you were talking about earlier, I think my favorite part about it is that it was set in two different time periods. So I... didn't think I was going to like it because from what I had heard, I'd only heard about the plane crash part. Like, I didn't know that it also took part like years later. Mm-hmm. So
I didn't realize either.
Yeah. So I think that's my favorite part about it. And I really liked it. I watched the second episode also, just because I wanted to continue watching it, and I definitely am gonna finish the season.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so I also give it a stamp of approval, which is kind wonderful. Of rare for
yeah,
me.
we don't get know. That. Yeah,
I, yeah.
So,
but yeah, it was super. I like the not graphic, but I like the it also kept me very on edge. But I kind of like that.
You like action,
yeah. You do. You like action.
Of sorts, because you don't like to be bored. Can I make one more comment that I just wanted to like note on as a New Jersey suburban girly.
Yeah.
Like, so initially, I guess that I just missed the part where it said 1996, and I thought it was like a mid-2000s initially.
Yeah.
And but still 1996, it makes a lot of sense. Like, the shots of the New Jersey suburban town, and I saw, like, when she got her acceptance letter to, I think it was Brown. I saw, like, the town, and I'm pretty positive that's a made-up New Jersey town, but, like, the aesthetic of the New Jersey suburban town. I went to private school, but even like it just was so New Jersey high school. It was so core that all the houses looked exactly like those were exactly like the houses, and mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that. And the other thing of like setting and culture that I enjoyed was when it was current day, and Shauna, I think she was laying in like her daughter's bedroom, I'm guessing.
Yes,
and it
Cassie.
Said like keep. Yeah, and there was a poster that said "Keep calm and marry Harry."
Yeah, no, yeah. Like that's yeah,
which I like loved. I really admired like the setting and how realistic both like the suburban home of like them growing up and also then them being mothers still in the same area. Like it really that was very true to the scene.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I'm going to touch on that later, too, with, like, how relatable the characters are and how grounded in reality is. But,
yeah,
to go back to what you were saying, I'm glad that you guys gave the stamp of approval. But to go back to the start, there is no, besides that opening scene, there's no cannibalism in season one. Once again, I'll get into this, but this is pitched as a 5-season show. So, and what I love so much about it is the pacing. So you immediately assume by the season finale, we're going to get the opening scene, which is like the Antler Queen, these girls in masks doing rituals. And it's like, no, we're not even close to that yet.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So like, well, everyone's talking about the cannibalism aspects and the plane crash. That's only the first episode or two that we like actually see that. And it goes back to this bookend structure where we know how the show is going to end, and it's going to end with cannibalism. And what I love so much is that first opening scene, you see these girls absolutely just feral, setting up booby traps and these weird guttural like noises from their throats, like going full on savage. And then it cuts right to them on the soccer pitch.
Yeah.
Which is just like...
The
and
contrast
you,
is amazing.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know that in 19 months' time, they went from this girls' New Jersey soccer team that is just like this regular, like, you know, group of girls to full-on savages.
It makes me sick in my stomach.
But that's the thing. So you could, like, if that is your, like, hesitancy... That's not a big thing for the rest of the season. It's but like what I love so much is that's always on your mind, and every single thing that they do in the past and every single thing that you see in the present, you're thinking at all moments, when does it switch? Which I love. And it's
I feel like they do such a good job of setting it up from the very first episode. They're like, we're not going to talk about what happened.
It's
like,
and we don't really know what happens. Yeah. And like, what's so great is that by having the Antler Queen and by not showing who the girl in the pit is, we don't know who dies. We don't know who goes insane. We don't know who's. So there's a lot of questions that
well,
first.
I'm surprised they showed us who the leader was.
Well, we don't know who the leader was. The Antler Queen, her face is covered. We don't know who that is. They show a girl, what's it called? Misty in glasses. Yeah. But she's not the leader.
Well, the episode paints it to be that she's the leader.
You'll see. That'll be episode 2.
I won't.
Yeah, that'll be. You're not going to watch anymore?
I don't know. It made me really queasy.
You should. It's
I also have to confess something. I read all the plot synopsis on Wikipedia because I really wanted to know what happened, but I didn't want to watch.
That's not chill.
I have to say, I did see some spoilers, but I'm trying to just block them out of my mind.
Yeah, and you'll forget as you watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's maybe. Yeah, those are my like off the cuff thoughts, but let's go into some of the pre-production, everything like that.
Deep dive as the plane did in the forest.
Exactly. We are going to crash metaphorically into the forest. But yeah, so there's a few different things that inspired the show creators to make this. The show creators are Ashley Lyle and Bart Nickerson, and they're a married couple, and they produce together and they write together. It's very nice.
Cute.
But they're influenced by three different things. The Donner Party, which is back in like, you know, Manifest Destiny. We must move west, like the 1840s. Yeah. That didn't work too well for this one group that was going west, got stuck in Nevada in the winter and had to resort to cannibalism. And then like they continued on their trip. You know, that's very weird. And then there's also from the 1970s, the Andes flight disaster, which is very similar to like the show, where there's 45 people on a plane. They crash in the wilderness, in the Andes Mountains. 10 died to start. And over like the next 2 months, 20 more in total, like 29 in total end up dying. So 19 more. And at some point they resort to cannibalism. And it's even weird because there's only one female survivor of everyone. And she was like super religious and she refused to like go cannibal. But she was convinced because someone likened it to like taking like the body of Christ, where it's like, yeah. So it's like taking communion, which I find so interesting. God. And then last but not least is the Lord of the Flies, which is like, you know, everyone knows that story. The boys going nuts after a plane crash on an island. And back in 2017, Warner Brothers announced that they were going to be developing an all-female Lord of the Flies movie. And it was interesting. I remember when this happened, there was a lot of backlash and like just like funny tweets and stuff being like, girls would never go there. Like girls would never resort to that because they're too smart. And, you know, like they're not going to go insane. And Ashley Lyle, who's, you know, the creator, she was like kind of like a little, I don't know. The way she describes it is she agrees that it would take the girls much longer to get there, and she wanted to, like, show that arc. Whereas the boys, it would happen, like, if the plane started crashing, I'm immediately gnawing on the person's leg next to me. Like, I'm like, that guy's gotta go. Like, we're eating him. Like, I don't care if we're crashing in, like, Manhattan. I'm going completely feral.
Any excuse.
Any excuse to go cannibal, I'm taking. Like, be like, Reese, how did you make shift a spear? I'll be like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But yeah, no, so I find it very interesting that it was because people were so skeptical that girls wouldn't be able to like go full barbaric. She wanted to like use that, and she wanted to do it through the metaphor of like a teenage hierarchy and how like the boys have that based on strength. It's kind of like playing with the girls' hierarchy, which is not always just so, I guess, physical. And I feel like what works so well about this story is that it really is just a story about teenage girls. And as you watch, you'll see the dynamics change where Jackie, who's like the queen bee, pun intended, Yellow Jackets, right, who's like the queen bee back in New Jersey.
Looks like a bee.
She has big eyes, yes.
She looks like the bee movie.
Yeah, she does.
She's very beautiful, but like she looks like the bee movie, right?
She's what she does.
That's what I thought.
She kind of does. But yeah, where it's like she's a queen bee back at New Jersey, but her skills and like her like personality really don't translate in the wilderness. She doesn't bring anything to the table, which is interesting, where you see some characters who are a bit weirder and a bit more quiet, who are willing to be a bit more violent and hunt deer and, you know, skin animals and do medical procedures. Like, they're the ones who are thriving. So it's really interesting to see this shift in dynamics, where it's like, my favorite relationship in the whole show is Jackie and Shauna.
Yeah.
Because Jackie's very much Queen Bee. Shauna is like her right hand man who's mm-hmm. like always in the shadow. And it's very, and like even from the first episode, you see Shauna behind Jackie's back with Jeff.
Yeah.
Which is like, you could see that there's, and like you immediately want to hate Shauna. But like as the show mm-hmm. goes on, you're like, Jackie like loves Shauna, but she loves Shauna because she views her as an attachment to herself, just like
a
piece of her. So it's really interesting just watching these kind of like things unfold, and from the perspective once again of not just like a bunch of boys just like fighting for power, it's girls trying to be like actually serious about survival as opposed to just like let's start fucking eating people. So I really like how that is set up, and fun question time. How long? Okay, if us three were to crash,
okay, let's do it.
Who do you think is getting eaten first?
Reese.
So you say that, but what the audience
Reese is kind of skinny.
But what the audience doesn't know is that we had an arm wrestling contest last week. And I absolutely destroyed both of them.
I mean, so, okay, that was a little unexpected.
I think the biggest shock was that Julia beat me.
Yes, so yeah, I that think was kind of a big I think shock. I think, you think honestly, it's me? Yeah, I because so I would be concerned about your not lust for power, but like I know that if given the time, you could convince Julia to turn on me. So I would just have to, like, right off the bat.
She
like,
probably could.
She would. So I'd have to right off the bat just be like, Juge, we gotta kill her. And, like, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. But, like, you do understand where it's coming from. It's not from a place.
We kill you.
You thought this you out. You've been thinking about this.
Well, yes. I had this question ready.
Holy fuck.
I mean. But, like, thank God we don't. I wouldn't have told you this if I ever thought this would happen, though. Because then you would be like, Juge, we have to kill him. And it's like. I mean, we could always team up T and kill Juge. Oh, and like, I think we could be smart about it.
That's so rude.
Wait, we could preserve her. I don't know. Just something to think about. Something to chew on.
I would put up a fight though. I would easily be killed.
I think I would just. I would want to kill Reese because I would like think about like who would start pissing me off more. But the thing is, no, I'm dead serious. I don't think Julia would be as submissive to me as I'd want her to be.
That's what I'm saying. And if you're like, we should go west, she'd be like, but like, it's a little chilly. And you know what I mean? Like,
that's so something I would do.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm tired.
Be like,
I don't want to go west.
But we found this great watering hole. And did you see the color I'm getting? Like,
no, like, I was just gonna say she'd be like, but the sun is out.
And like when they find us, you want to look cute, right? Like, exactly.
I need to be a little golden brown when they discover us because we're gonna be
exactly. Okay. And like, if I die, I at least want to look good. but yeah, I think if we were to crash with others, we would be able to band together, and I think we'd be good at that. But if it's just us three, it'd be some interesting dynamics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah, the thing is that, like, Reese, you would try to, like, I don't know, take reins, and I'd be like, no.
That's what I'm saying. Because it's
so
like.
So then I guess you would kill me. So
yeah, it's very much, you'll see what happens between Thaisa, who is very much like. Her and Jackie tend to, like. It's not butt heads, but, like, they're both leaders on the team. And it's interesting because, like, Thaisa's just, like, super strong girl. And, like, so that's another thing that plays out where it's, like, the people who are, like, you know, have, like, that already thing on the soccer team. Yeah. How you see that manifest out in the woods, which is, it's super interesting. That's what this show is so good. It, like, it makes you ask these questions that, like.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then my next thing, because it's, like, the same kind of line of thinking, is, like, asking these questions. Do you think, and, like, hypothetical, do you think you'd ever be able to, in a survival situation, like, resort to cannibalism?
I literally cannot.
I think no one can ever say.
No, and I'm saying, once again, even if you were to say no now, it could be a yes. Or if you say yes now, maybe you wouldn't be able to do it. But, like, just right now, like, thinking.
I'd rather die.
I think that's morbid. No, it's not morbid, but like maybe in like the wilderness you change your mind, but like right now with like a fully sound mindset you're saying you
wouldn't. I think I'd rather go. Okay. It makes me feel sick to my stomach.
That makes me so happy because then I'd be able to eat you.
Sure, I don't know. And you know what? You guys can toast me up. Toast me up. Put some barbecue sauce on there. Like, I don't really care. I can't. Yeah,
that was easy.
Every time I go on a plane since watching Yellow Jackets, I bring seasonings.
Ready.
But
would you guys do me a favor? Would you, like, when you got back to the real world, would you, like, present me as, like, a martyr who, like, died for you?
No, I'd be like, oh my god, she was crying up until the last minute.
Well, then I don't want to do that. I don't want to save you guys for nothing.
Fine. We'd be like, she chose to die for us honorably. To survive. Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, maybe there's, like, a memorial in New York City, and it's big and beautiful.
I was like, I just want to be famous.
The Talia Ramer annual cook-off where we eat we eat pork ribs every year.
That's really gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
I would. Okay.
That's my answer. Okay. So we have two cannibals and one animal.
Juge, would you?
Yeah, I think she I would. Yeah. Well, I want to live. I mean, I obviously am not. That's not my first choice. But
no. It's never your. If we're in like a village like surrounded by like bunnies or something, 100% we're going
for
the bunnies.
Bunnies. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go. Humans not first.
If the options are die or eat another human and live, I'm going to live.
Yeah, I would not. But the thing is, I would not kill someone to survive.
Yeah.
I'll eat them if
they're already dead.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. Good. We have morals.
Yeah.
All right.
This is why I don't want to watch this show. Like, I don't want to think about this entire time. Like, every
time.
Oh,
that's why.
Also, like, the thought of a plane crash and, like, being stranded on.
Oh, yeah.
In a forest,
that's my biggest fear.
And, like, the survival of it all makes me legit, like, feel faint. So yeah. I can't do it.
That's the scariest thing to me, too. I am terrified of planes and planes crashing and also being in isolated situations. So the whole thing is a nightmare for me.
This is, like, probably the worst airplane show, like, to watch.
Yeah.
But, okay.
I have some flights coming up.
Yeah, me too. I have one this week, and I am not excited now. Time to bring salt and pepper. Whoever's sitting next to me, get ready, baby.
Yum, yum.
Sir,
we saw the planes, we're like scouting out like who looks like the
sir,
most.
Why do you have a boiling cauldron? Why are you chopping carrots into it? asking fellow flight.
You have like chicken stock, like you brought like.
Risa asked him on the plane to do an arm wrestling contest with him, so he knows he's the weakest link.
Just like an 86-year-old woman, I'm like, she's going in the fucking pot. Gertie, shut that mouth. You're going in the stew. But okay, so to get back to it, so some pre-production on the show and something I really love about it is that the show was pitched with a definitive story arc. The show creator, Ashley Lyle, she has it's a 5-season show. That was how the pitch was. She pitched season one. It was like a 35-minute pitch, and she said that the entire story could be told in 5 seasons. I love that so much.
You must love that because we talk so much about like how when things are precise and when they know how to end, they're always better.
So she and like once again, like they are not entirely sure how it's going to end, but she already knows that she doesn't want it going on that far and that she wants certain things to happen each season. So yes, like all the little things in between can be added. But she knows where it's going to end up. And it's the same thing with like a really great show like Breaking Bad. Like, that was only a few seasons. They had his arc, and it was over. And I'm sure that's what we're going to get with Yellow Jackets, which makes me really excited. But yeah, so she pitched it as a 5-season pitch. And once again, I love a definitive storyline. Like, I hate shows that drag on forever and ever, and they keep asking questions, and they keep giving you, like, you know, more questions without answering anything. Whereas in this show, whenever a question's asked, we'll either get an answer, or we know that answer will give us a new question, which I appreciate a great deal because instead of watching and like never knowing where it's going to go, we know that it will end and that it's not going to get stupid and that everything is intentional as opposed to just like the studio being like, hey, we're going to need a Yellow Jacket cinematic universe. We're going to need. And it's like that doesn't need to happen. This story exists on its own, and that's perfect the way it is. And so the first episode was released November 14th, 2021. And it was doing a weekly release, which is something I will touch on.
Yeah.
I will touch on later. Okay. And by episode five, it was renewed for season two on Showtime. And it's already, like, the show is already done. Like, season one's already done. Season two is in the works now. But it's the second most streamed series in Showtime's history behind only, like, Dexter.
Oh, okay.
So, like, that's pretty cool. And also, it's nice that a Showtime show is doing well. Like, yeah, people are getting Showtime to watch the show. It's almost, you know, it's, once again, it's quality over quantity, where how many Netflix shows can you name that you actually genuinely love? Like, yes, they have a massive library, but,
No, you're correct.
I'm not on Reddit pages talking about, you know, whatever Netflix show came out a few weeks ago, and I can't even think of any, right? Like, Inventing Anna, is that, like, that'll be talked about. Yeah, that'll be talked about for another few days.
Julia, please.
But I'm saying, those are, like, they're churned out, and it's, like, Yellow Jackets. I don't know. You could tell that there was thought behind it. But, yeah, I wanted to go into the cast, because the cast is fucking phenomenal. The adults.
I agree with you.
Yeah, the adults. Melanie Lynskey, who plays adult Shauna. Juliette Lewis, who plays adult Nat. Christina Ricci, who plays adult Misty. And then Tony Cypress, who plays adult Thaisa. I really like, because of the fact that this show is set partially in the 90s, that some of the cast members who are the adults were huge in the 90s. Like Juliette Lewis, Cape Fear, Natural Born Killers from Dusk Till Dawn, and Christina Ricci, like the Addams Family, Casper, Mermaids. Like, these are huge 90s stars, so it's really cool that, although, like, it takes place in, you know, that they're in the present, that, like, their youth counterparts are when they were thriving. And Melanie Lynskey, too. She was huge in the 90s, but she's only recently gotten bigger, which is something I'll also touch on, because I fucking love Melanie Lynskey. She is so good. But yeah, I think it was just, all the casting is great. Like, looking at adult Shauna to young Shauna is crazy, because they look so alike, and adult Thaisa to young Thaisa, like, it's really kind of nuts how on the nose the casting is. And I feel like there are a lot of times in shows and movies, I'll see a younger actor, and I'm like, who is this supposed to be? Whereas, like, I didn't even have to think, because I, like, knew instinctively that, like, this is younger version of this, because of the fact that they are identical, and they get the mannerisms right, they get, like, exactly. And it's even interesting, because Nat, who is played by Sophie Thatcher in the 90s, but is played by Juliette Lewis in the, you know, present day, like, she was cast first. So Juliette Lewis, who's this, like, superstar, had to, like, change part of her performance to match, like, Sophie Thatcher's, and Sophie Thatcher vice versa. So it's, like, this really cool dynamic. And I also love that while Lynskey was the first person to be cast, she was also the trickiest to cast, because she's kind of, like, there's no main character, which is another thing I like about the show, but she kind of, I feel like, is a little bit. I think you could make the argument that she is. But yeah, and also, once again, the casting. Like, these girls feel like actual girls. And I'll point to Euphoria. Those girls do not feel like actual girls. That does not
feel...
Well,
they don't feel young. That's what you mean.
No, they don't feel young. Yes. Okay. They don't feel young. They don't feel like high school girls. That is like watching like a weird, like, fantasy offshoot. This feels, and like you were saying, this feels grounded in reality. This feels like it's New Jersey. It works because every suburb everywhere has similarities.
Yeah.
And it just you could pick up this show and place it in Indiana, you know, like you could pick up the show and place it right outside of Chicago. And it works, as opposed to, you know, something like Euphoria, where it's just like, it's supposed to be reality. No one has lived that. and you have a show about cannibalism, and it feels more realistic than girls just like in high school. So I don't know. It just speaks to how well written the show is, and how it actually takes like being a high school girl seriously. Does not like write it off as like small little jokes. I think they really do nail the dynamics, like the power dynamics of like high school cliques, and that kind of thing. And I think even in like the first episode, the bonfire scene, where you can see who, like, if someone's giving shit to someone else, like, doesn't matter. But when Jackie steps in, it's like, okay, guys, like, you know, yeah. It's those weird things that, like, the unspoken stuff that,
and
like,
the, like, oh, like, he was asking if you were going to be at the party. And Shauna was like, why is he asking? Like, I don't care. Like, but, you know, that's exactly how it would have gone.
It feels as though, like, the people who are writing this show actually were teenage girls at one point and are not just Sam Levinson, white, like, straight white guys.
Everybody's just roasting Euphoria.
I mean, classic, though.
Nothing wrong with it. Like, Euphoria is doing, well, that's not true, but Euphoria is doing a good job of getting people invested in a story and everything like that. So, like, no hate there. Like, it's massively popular for a reason. And I like that people are, like, super into TV right now. But that being said, I just think Yellow Jackets, like, does that
so much
better.
More realistic.
Yeah. Especially for something that shouldn't be. And I just love that all the characters are so distinctly themselves. You kind of, like, it's kind of like Friends in The Office, where, like, no, those aren't my favorite shows ever. But when you start to watch, you begin to, like, guess what they can do. Like, you start to know the characters and know who they are. And they're not just, like, you know, stereotypes. Like, yes, Jackie is the queen bee. But, like, we learn that, like, there's more to her than just that. Like, she's very insecure about certain things. You know, and it's stuff like that where, like, Nat, how she's, like, supposed to be the burnout. But, like, there's a lot more to her than that. They're not just these, like, you know, cookie-cutter characters. They're their own people. And you begin to see that they're more than just, like, the one thing that you're supposed to know about each of them.
Right.
And I like that a lot. So now, time for our next game. and that is, guess which character Reese is in love with.
Oh, interesting. I think this is easy.
Okay, wait. So I'll give you a hint. There's two.
I can guess who they are.
Okay. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it until both of you guess.
I think Nat and Jackie. It's not that hard for me. Definitely not. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely Nat. Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing as Talia.
Okay, it's Nat and Jackie. yeah.
It's so easy, Reese. Yeah. That's so easy.
Reese, we know you too well.
I know. I feel like it was a fucking lob.
He wants Nat to like insult him and like step on him a little bit.
Oh my god. I want Nat to shoot me. I'm obsessed with Nat. And Jackie.
Yeah, of course.
They're both the loves of my life. I would sacrifice myself for them.
Question.
Yes.
Do you love them more or less than Player 67 from Squid Game?
That's not fair.
Why not?
Don't make me choose.
Fuck Mary Kill.
Fuck Mary Kill.
No, I can't. I'm not playing this game.
No, do it quick, please.
No, that's insulting and it's degrading.
but I would fuck.
But that being said,
Player
I would
67.
I would convert to Mormonism and marry them all. But I think that's tough. No, okay. I think out of all, I can't. I'm not deciding. It's Nat.
Okay. That's good. I would guess that.
Yeah, that was a safe guess.
Our little emo crash boy.
Moving on. I thought that'd be fun.
That is fun.
That is a fun game.
But yeah, I absolutely love this show, and I'm gonna go into a few more reasons why. Before I go into like some, you know, last little things to touch on. But one of the things is it's blending of genres. I like shows that are like genre driven but are also good at mixing them, and this one has like I wrote out some of the ones that I thought, like, it's part horror, part thriller, coming of age, comedy, drama, teen romance, adult romance, mystery, action, supernatural ? We don't know. That's something that gets teased throughout the season. There's some weird things that happen that some people speculate are supernatural. But it's what I love once again so much about the show is that we don't get those answers, and everything that happens that could be written as supernatural could also be written off as just an odd coincidence. Yeah, but this show just, it's a perfect blending of genres. Did I say comedy? Yes, I did. Okay. Yeah. Because it's also super funny for a show that's like so heavy. Moments. Yeah. And another thing, the writing, fantastic. It's up for, it's kind of annoying that it's not up for like Emmys and Golden Globes. It might be, I guess, coming up. I don't know if it got nominated for things. I don't think so. If it like didn't make the cycle this year, maybe it'll get next year. But for the Writers Guild this year, it's up for Best Drama Series and Best News Series. And like I said earlier, it does a great job of showing, not telling. We're never told, we're never just like handed things on a platter. We have to piece together things ourselves. We have to do a little bit of detective work, groundwork on our own.
You always prefer that. Yes. I know you like to be treated like you're not stupid as a viewer. I do know that.
Yeah, there's nothing more, I think, insulting as like someone that watches movies or shows than when like you're revealed things in like a title card where it's like 17 years later, she's married to who? Or it's like they'll have like what I hate, and it happens so often in like shitty shows, or like you'll have a character at a coffee shop and be like, oh, how have you been since the divorce? You know, like, are your kids, Mark and Janet, okay? That must be hard.
Now that you're married.
Yeah, now that you've started seeing this person, you know, and I'm so glad I introduced you to, because my wife, who is in this business, which will be talked about in, like, an episode or two. And it's like, I hate those scenes, because it, obviously they don't trust us to put things together. And it's okay to have questions when you're watching a show. It's okay to not know the answers. Yeah. And you'll
Can
put
I
these together.
Ask a question? Speaking of questions, in that first scene when we meet adult Shauna and she's like masturbating in the, is that her daughter's bedroom?
Yeah.
Are those photos of Jeff when he was a teenager?
I think that was her daughter's boyfriend.
Or that was her daughter's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay, I really couldn't tell.
Yeah, but also, and like once again, like with Jeff, like we don't really know what happened there and how they ended up getting married. And once again. We don't know all that's happening, and that's okay, because it adds like a little trust and it lets us do some digging, which goes back to what I love so much about the show is the weekly release. There is nothing I hate more than binge watching. I really dislike it. And I think binge watching is like okay for certain things, like the Great British Bake Off, a great example of something that should be binge watched. There's no reason for me to like, you know, anxiously anticipate who's gonna get voted off, and it's like
Kardashians. I hear you,
Kardashians.
Mindless shit.
Yeah, and it's like you have these great shows like Ozark, like its newest season released like a month or two ago. I don't even know. I just remember it came out. People were talking about it for like a few days, and I haven't heard about it since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like one of Netflix's biggest shows, and it's the one that wins Emmys. And in the course of 2 weeks, it wrote its course.
Yeah.
You have the biggest show of the past year in Squid Game released all at once, and people talk about it for 3 weeks. Like, no one brings it up anymore. Like, meanwhile, you have a show like Euphoria, which is now, people have started using Euphoria Sunday. That has taken over a day. Don't watch
season finale tonight.
Yeah, no, season finale
tonight.
I'm
excited to watch tonight because I'm like tired of talking about it, to be honest.
But that's what I'm saying. And it's like, yes, like it could be like, you know, a lot. And Euphoria is. But like, I haven't seen an episode of Euphoria. But for the past like 2 months, that has been my Twitter. That has been my TikTok. I could tell you probably what's happened this season. I love the jokes. I love the camaraderie of it. I love the speculating. It's awesome. And Yellow Jackets, which I think is a better show, is perfect for the weekly format, because after each week, you're asking so many questions. There's so many things to discuss. Yeah. Who's the Antler Queen? Who do you think this character is? Who's doing like X, Y, and Z? And it just, it's the reason that we need. And it, like, also, it's probably the reason that it was renewed for a season 2. Like, yes, if it was released all at once, it might have, like, gained, like, a little following after. But it's like You, where it's like, that was put on Netflix and then people found it. But, like, if Yellow Jackets didn't gain momentum, it's not getting renewed.
So, Reese, you were seeing, like, a lot of, like, similar discourse on TikTok and Twitter about Yellow Jackets?
Yes. Okay. So it's like,
I just wasn't, because that's not the sphere I'm in, but
that's like what my work Slack channel was about. Like, they were leading up to the finale, they were like speculating all these theories about, it's like the delayed gratification. I think that's why people
like the release. It's awesome. Yeah. And that's how like TV used to be. And it's like, we no longer have cable, so people are watching on their own time. But it's like, when you have a week to watch, you can like catch up on the discourse after. And like TikTok, Twitter, Reddit, like we were all talking, making memes, and it's just so much fun. And I didn't start watching Yellow Jackets, I think, till 4 or 5 episodes in, after they had been released. So I like watched those first few, like that, and then I was hooked. And like for the last like 5 or 6 weeks, like I was a part of that community, and it's so nice.
I agree with you. I do agree with you.
And it's like, and it gets back to like classic mysteries of TV, like Lost and Twin Peaks. Like, people would like come together and be like, holy fuck, like, what do you think is gonna happen? And it allows these shows that like are not on an existing IP to get renewed and to get made and for people to be excited. And it like, it further drives home the point that you don't have to be Netflix to make original shows. That if you actually trust someone who's a good storyteller and let them do their job, which is to tell stories, people will want to watch.
Right.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there a reason it was on Showtime? Like, do you have any
It was just that? So when it was pitched.
And how did it gain popularity so quickly? Like, people just were watching, like,
it's a classic
about it.
It's a classic word of mouth. Like, literally, like, you could see the viewership grow from episode 1, and I think the most watched episode was episode 9. But you literally, like, Showtime's release.
So there wasn't, like, a big marketing campaign, like, whatever.
No, and, like,
it just kind of was, like, word of mouth.
Literally, it was, like, I've seen billboards for it, and I kept seeing on, like, my film Twitter stuff, people were like, you need to check out the show. And after seeing, like, 80 tweets about it, I was, like, over the course of weeks, I was, like,
really impressive.
Fuck it, like, I'll start it. And then I started talking about it, and I'm hoping that, like, it'll continue to spread. But, yeah, they had pitched the story to HBO. And HBO got in a bidding war, but then Showtime got it. So, like, that was basically it.
Good move for Showtime.
Good move for Showtime.
Like, yeah, and I feel like all the actors are pretty famous. Like, obviously, I know, like, Christina Ricci and, like, like you were saying, like, they're pretty big. There's not, like, one. It's not like Euphoria where there was, like, Zendaya. You know what I mean?
Right.
Exactly. And it's, like, once again, the story exists because of the story. It doesn't exist because it's a vehicle for a star, which is really nice. And it allows, like, Ella Purnell, who plays Jackie, she's been acting for years. And, like, she's, like, not, you know, superstar or anything like that. But, like, this is a great role for her. Like, this is a super story and character-driven show. And it's not just, like, using her outside fame. It's using her as, like, an actual talented actress as opposed to just, like, a model. So... yeah, and then the last thing I wanted to discuss is just some stuff around Melanie Lynskey, who I think is just an awesome human. She plays adult Shauna.
I love her.
She's awesome. She's like, she's been acting for years, and I think a big thing that I'd like to discuss about her is that she is not a size zero. You know, and it's always been a weird thing like around her, where as a kid, she said in the 90s, she had like super bad eating disorders because she was always cast as the best friend. She was always cast as girl with chocolate bar crying at dance. And she said like that hurt her, and like she was bulimic. It like really fucking damaged her. And over time, she eventually was okay with how she looked, because regardless of when she would say when she was starving herself, she was like obsessively working out, like she would still look, you know, about the same as like, you know, just a regular person. And she eventually understood that that was okay. And it's really nice that not only like does the show allow that to be okay, but it's not like she's not the quote unquote the fat character, or you know what I mean? And yeah. It's really interesting because there's been a lot of weird feedback. This is like a little bit of a spoiler, but she ends up having an affair. And people are like, why is the guy with her? Like, what's like, and it's like, she's really pretty and she's really cool yeah. and funny. And it's not like a, oh, he's doing this because he wants to whatever. It's like, no, he views her as like a regular looking woman whom he's attracted to. And it was another thing with on set. One of the crew members was like, hey, do you know like how you're going to start preparing for the role? Like, I'm sure like the producers could get you like a trainer or something. And
wrong thing to say.
The cast mm-hmm. was not happy. Like, a lot of the young cast members, like the young stars and like yeah. Juliette Lewis, the older stars, sure. like ripped into the producers and were like, that's mm-hmm. fucked up. And like, they all got on her side. Good. And yeah.
Did the guy get fired? Do you know?
That I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure but he did. Yeah, literally. And then she ended up speaking to like one of the producers, like at the end of things. And she was just like, you know, thank you, like for letting me be me. And they were like, what do you mean? Like here, like the actual quote is at the end of the shoot, she wrote to an executive, like, I felt so supported, like on this entire show. Thank you so much. And the executive, she was like, it had never crossed my mind. Everyone thought you looked real and sexy.
Yeah.
And like, which is just nice. I don't know. I liked that a lot. And Melanie Lynskey is super open about that. And also her character, which you'll see like later in the season, has a lot of sex. And like, there's always that thing where it's like women over 40, like that kind of stuff. And like comedians joke about that. But she's like, no, like, let my character have sex. It's awesome that my character can have sex and that she's a woman in her 40s who's confident and like who's still like very much in control of her sexual life.
Yeah.
And she's not a size zero or whatever. But like, I don't know. She's like fucking off. Like, but
Reese is like falling at his collar a little bit.
What's up, Miss Lynskey? But yeah, no, I just thought that was really cool. And you know, she's just a really great actress and she's been really cool like on Twitter, and she's so supportive of like all the young stars. Like, she writes on all of their Instagrams like, you're looking great, babe, and like with
love
hearts
that.
Yeah, no, she's That's just so like cute. She's awesome. She's been awesome, and the show's also just really good about like allowing the actors, actresses to be who they are. Like I said, like, she's able to be who she is. And like, some of the other actresses are not non-binary in the show, like Liv Hewson, who plays Van, Jane Widdup, who plays Laura Lee. So yeah, and it's not like a focal point. Like, it's not made to be in any way political. Like, it's just like, okay, that's who they are. We don't have to like advertise this. We could just let mm-hmm. them exist and like let
that's
the talent.
Nice. And yes, not, like, capitalizing off of it.
Yes, let the talent speak for itself, and like, people will come and people will love them for that. So yeah, I really have, and like, sorry for just going off on a rant like this past hour, but I have absolutely nothing bad to say about the show. It's a great story. The production behind it is awesome. I'm so excited for season two, and I'm excited to see where the show goes. Like, it is so much fun, and I hope more people watch, because there's nothing I love more than talking TV. Especially with you two, my friends.
Oh, wow. That was so really fucking nice. I like talking TV with you guys too.
Yeah.
I agree with everything you just said. No, honestly, very little disagreement for me this episode.
Yeah, and the show just gets better and better. Yeah. Like, I can honestly say that. So, T, if you ever want to watch, I suggest it. And Juice,
I might. I'm queasy, but that's a personal thing.
No, Reese, I'm going to text you as I'm...
I was going to say, Juge, yeah, just text me as you're watching. I want to hear your thoughts.
I will.
But yeah, I figured, you know, as always, we end with a character comparison.
Yes, we do. I see what you have written down, Reese.
I could start.
Yeah, please do.
So I said Talia's Thaisa.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she's just like...
I see it. I just...
Yeah, I see it too.
She's kind of like badass, like in the future, like in the present day, she's like running for office, you know, she's got her shit together. Yeah, She's a girl boss.
Thanks.
Juge, I have you as Shauna's daughter, Cassie. Just because
I was like, who the fuck is Cassie?
Yeah, I looked it up.
So Cassie, like, she like is not like one of the main characters in the show. Is it Callie? Oh, it's not Cassie.
Yeah, I think it's Callie. Cassie's from Euphoria.
Reese is trying so hard to like fight Euphoria and its existence in his life.
I have to say, I love Cassie's character in Euphoria.
We're not talking. Okay, Callie. Her name is Callie. But yeah, okay, I think you're Callie because you'll see. She's very much like a product of today, and I feel like you exist like at the perfect time for when you should be here on Earth. You know what I mean?
That's an interesting comment. I never thought about that, but I guess
she does.
I don't see you like existing in the 80s. I feel like now is your time and it works. And she has some very good jabs at like her. I don't know. She's just like, she's a very underrated, funny character that people kind of like have like.
So she's in it a bit more than like we saw. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, she's a reoccurring.
I like her from what I've seen so far. So I'll take it.
She's funny. She has like a little bit of sass. Yeah, she's awesome. And then I thought for me, I'd be Ben, just because he's the assistant coach and he's the one who gets his leg stuck under the plane.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So spoiler, not really, but he survives all of season one. So we know.
I know who you're talking about. I read the spoilers. Mm-hmm.
He's just, like, the only adult there, and he's just, like, one of the only guys there, and he's just, like, what the fuck's going on?
with the voice cracking, always.
He's just, like, he has one leg throughout, like, the show, and he's just, like, guys, what the fuck? And, like, it's just, I don't know. I think he's pretty funny, but I don't know who I'd be otherwise, so.
Okay. I like that comparison. I think that I have a bit of Shauna and me as well, probably, and I think that Julia could have a bit of Jackie.
I could see Shauna for you too.
You don't think, Reese? What do you?
You have. I think you have more adult Shauna.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
I think young Shauna, at least.
Yeah, young. I think young Shauna in public lets Jackie's step on her. So I don't think
that's not. Yeah,
I think that I would have been like that in high school. So
I don't know, because young Shauna has a lot of old Shauna. Deep in
and
her.
I was just like always hooking up with my friend's boyfriends, so
there you go.
Joking. Complete lie.
Yeah. But yeah, that's Yellow Jackets. If you don't watch, please do, because
please block it is... Reese and never talk to him again, because he will not respect you unless you watch the show.
I was gonna say, yeah. That's probably true. I'll think less of you. but yeah, that's it.
DM us if you made it to the end of the ep. Well, first of all, do you guys have any grievances?
I already said mine. You said yours. My other grievance, I had a second Chipotle grievance, actually. There were like 10 workers, and I shouldn't say workers, employees. I don't know. The people that work at Chipotle. And there was one person making all the burritos and bowls. And the other people were standing around. I'm like, what is going on? There was such a long line. I'm like, can you help this poor woman that's making all the bowls? Like,
yeah, they could have been on their break.
No, they were literally, like, there was like 5 people at the register just standing there.
I don't know. But I know my grievance this week.
Yes?
Airbnb.
Oh, God.
What? I understand how it's, I understand. No. Nothing has happened. Airbnb was a way for homeowners to make money, and for people looking to stay somewhere to save money. Now it's basically just a second hotel service. They're all owned by like these satellite companies, and they're about the same price as hotels. Who the fuck is benefiting?
But they're not all like that. Like, you can
still rent your home. They're not all like that, but. A great deal of them are. I'm mad at big hospitality. I'm coming for you. Just give me a hollowed out plane in the wilderness. I'll be fine.
Classically angry at something that's just like large and unattainable.
No, it
you
is.
Know what, you know what I hate, actually, to kind of go off of. I was inspired this because I know you're going to LA soon, Reese, and so am I, but. My other grievance is time zones, and why is it that when you fly back from the West Coast to the East Coast, why do you lose an entire day? You're in the same country. Russia has one time zone, And it is like twice the size of the United States. I'm pretty sure.
So, this is an anti-Russia podcast.
Yeah, I actually am Ukrainian, so I have to say that. My mom is from Ukraine.
Wearing blue and yellow, repping the colors of Ukraine.
Guys, I am fully Ukrainian. Actually, I'm half, but you know what I mean?
My descendants are from Russia, but we were kicked out, so
It's all the same people.
Cool. Thanks, guys. What I was going to say was, if you made it to the end, I would love if you would DM us if you would resort to cannibalism or if you'd rather just die, and maybe an explanation, a brief explanation. And I'm glad that the three of us had such concrete answers on that.
Yeah. Same. I'm in. Little garlic powder.
And if you take away anything from this episode, just know next time Reese gets on a flight, he's going to have a huge pouch of like seasonings and probably like Cutco knives.
Pots and pans.
As we are crashing, I'm putting carrots in the mouths of everyone. Just for easy. That is my meal.
Or like apples, you know, like the pig with that's like wrapped up with an apple in its mouth. Like that's what,
exactly.
That's what I'm going to look like when Reese and Julia eat me.
Yes. My meal prep is literally just
flying. And then they'll post a photo to the pod story.
Exactly.
Okay. That was a really good episode, Reese. Congratulations.
I really did a great job.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of fun with you guys, as always. And
what are we doing next? Who's next? You?
Me. Guess what I'm doing.
Euphoria?
Yeah. Yeah. We just have to do it. And I'm just...
No, we have to. We've talked about it so much.
I think it'll be good timing because it'll be like...
You're confused. I'm fucking confused.
Rue. No.
Put your penis away. No.
Oh, okay.
Put your penis away. I am who I am.
I think we're just going to quote the entire time. But I think it'll be a good 2 weeks off. People will be like kind of thirsty for some new Euphoria content, and then we'll give it to them at the perfect time.
What the fuck is wrong with you? What the fuck?
I actually saw a girl today at brunch that looked just like Hunter Schaefer, just like the mannerisms and the walking, and she just, maybe it was her. Reese, I think you'd think she was hot.
Oh, Hunter Schaefer is so attractive.
Yeah.
Also, is Hunter Schaefer, does she play someone who's transitioned in the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
They don't, well, they explain her backstory, but they don't like, she's like already fully transitioned.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was part of the character. Interesting.
An episode about how she, like, it's not about, but they say that she transitioned as, like, when she was pretty young.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm already learning. Cool.
You're learning. Yeah. Okay. We will talk to you all soon. Enjoy. Enjoy, enjoy. Thank you.
Hey, and on a final note, if you get hungry, remember, there's meals walking around everywhere. We are one plane crash away from culinary delight. All right.
Very good.
Farewell. Bye.
Bye.